I'm going to use three words that is going to be my title of my sermon, and the three words are found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "On this wise." Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. That is, this is the way it was. That's what God's telling us. Before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, I want to turn back into the Old Testament and read to you a verse found in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter number 7 and verse number 14. Now, we can't determine exactly just how long ago that was, but my feeling as I've looked at various figures about this time is, you know, something maybe a little over 700 years before our Lord was born. Now think about that. Somewhere maybe between 700 and 800 years before Jesus was born, these words I'm about to read to you were written by the prophet Isaiah, who was inspired of Almighty God. And he said in chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now that was prophesied a long time before the actual event of the birth of Jesus. But we're going to be looking at that today from the various writings of Scripture. And you might find it a little bit interesting that when we read in the Gospel of Matthew the events surrounding the birth of Jesus, that they are not really kind of jammed up together. They're kind of separated apart a little bit from the first chapter to the second chapter. There are some things that happened between the first chapter of Matthew and the second chapter of Matthew, but God recorded them for us in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. So in the course of our study today of the Word of God, we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 2, Matthew chapter number 3, and John chapter number 1 as the record of the birth of Jesus. So having read that ancient prophecy, let's look to the Lord again in a moment of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us call upon you, for letting us come to you in prayer, Lord. You could have just shut us off and said, "You're sinners, I don't want to hear from you." But you didn't. You love us. It's evident you sent your only begotten Son into the world to die for us. You must love us a lot. You don't love our sins, but you love us. Thank you, Father, for we're unworthy of that love, but thank you, Father, for loving us, for blessing our lives in ways we can't even understand here on this earth. But one day in heaven's glory, we will understand. As the songwriter said, "In the sweet by and by." Lord, then we'll be able to praise you perfectly. And now we're only able to praise you in part. But, oh God, tune our hearts today to your word and speak to us through your word. And help me, Lord, to be able to share some of the great teachings that are given here in Scripture about our Savior's birth. And just bless that we can worship you while we're here today in our hearts and our thoughts, and give you praise and glory for how good you always have been and how good you are at this very moment. We give you thanks and praise your holy name, and pray our prayer in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. If you will, I think it might be beneficial and helpful to you if you'll turn and look at these readings as I read them in your hearing today. And I do want to elaborate a little from time to time on some things that I think might be helpful to all of us to kind of wrap our heads around that tremendous event of the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, into the world. Now, I read to you that Isaiah the prophet prophesied something that was going to happen hundreds of years later. But when I read to you in a few minutes from this first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, you're going to see how exact and precise the prophecy of Isaiah really was. So let's begin at the 18th verse of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1. And it begins by saying, it's given the lineage now, and it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In other words, Matthew is saying, I'm going to tell you how it was. And that way we can understand. So it was on this wise. And here's his statements of explanation. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now I'm going to pause right there, because what that means is, it's kind of like an engagement in our day and time. Not exactly, but fairly much like the engagement of our day. In other words, a couple spends time together and feels that they've fallen in love with each other and they want to be married and become husband and wife, so they make a commitment to each other, and then they, in that engagement period, they plan their wedding and begin to plan their life together as best they can with an uncertain future. And so basically, Mary and Joseph were engaged, so to speak. Now, that was a very serious time for people in that day, should be in this day, but I'm afraid often it isn't. But when it says she was espoused to Joseph, it meant that they were already now committed to each other. They had not yet come together in the union of marriage and a union of intimacy, but they were committed to each other and they were promised to each other. So Mary was espoused to Joseph. She was going to be his wife. And under the old law, I might tell you this, under the old law of the Old Testament, if during that period either one of that couple became a person who had betrayed the other one, was guilty of infidelity, they could be brought before the people and be stoned to death. It was that serious to God and to his people. So this was not a light covenant they had entered into. So Mary was espoused to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That's an interesting thing. They'd never been intimate as husband and wife or anything of that nature, but she's expecting a child. And the Bible tells us that Mary was confounded about that even. She realized there were changes going on in her body and she did not understand them. She went to be with her cousin Elizabeth and I think was with her for about 3 months. But there were some changes going on and she felt them and understood them and probably at some point began to see them. So she didn't know how. I mean, when the angel said, you're going to be the mother of the Son of God, she said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? I've never been intimate with a man. So how in the world can I be expecting a child? And then the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And that's Luke 1:35. So that's what it's talking about. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Baby Jesus had already been conceived within her womb by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. And then the 19th verse says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. In other words, as I understand it, the child was growing, and Joseph could see that she was expecting a child, and Joseph knew it wasn't his child, and he loved her. He didn't want her stoned to death somewhere by a roadside. So he was just minded to terminate it all and just send Mary on her way. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Aren't you thankful for that? We're just a small little portion of the great redeemed who've been washed in the blood of Jesus and born of the Spirit of God out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation and world. He shall save his people, God's elect covenant people, from their sins. That was his purpose in coming into the world. Now, all this was done, verse 22, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord by the prophet, saying. And here it is, that verse in Isaiah 7:14 is now brought in to the Gospel of Matthew. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Isaiah did not explain what that word Emmanuel meant, but Matthew does. And it means God with us. And that beautiful thought, God is with us. God came into the world, born of the Virgin Mary. When Jesus lived and walked on the earth, it was God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now I want you to notice this. Verse 25. Look carefully at it. Joseph took her as his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Somebody asked me not long ago, in the last couple of weeks, said, was there another name by which Jesus was called when he was a boy? And I said, I have no way to know that, but I seriously doubt it, because Jesus is the name the Father gave him. So I think that Mary and Joseph, my opinion, would have called him Jesus when he was just a little knee-high boy. And on as he grew up into a man, he was still Jesus. I mean, we called our children, you know, the names we gave them, and I think the name God gave him, Jesus, which means Savior, was adequate and a blessed name. But here's the point I want you to get before I leave this. Joseph did not know her, that is, as a husband knows his wife, in an intimate sexual relationship. He did not have those relations till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You say, why is that important? Isaiah said, a virgin, listen, number one, shall be with child. And conjunction, number two, shall bear a son. God's prophet said that Mary was to be a virgin, never having been intimate with a man. She was to be a virgin when she conceived, and she would carry the child through the term and deliver the child to be born. And when Jesus was born, she was still a virgin. That's why we refer to Jesus as the virgin-born Son of God. That's important to understand, that she was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus. So Joseph knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, called his name Jesus. Now, I'll explain why I'm not going on into the second chapter right now, but let's look at the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, while you're turning there, I'll say this. This is going to open up some new thoughts to us that are all connected to the Christmas story and that we need to be reminded of, but that are not addressed there in Matthew, the first chapter. Matthew, the first chapter, devoted, focused on the birth of Jesus. But this is going to fill in some gaps, you might call them, as our mind inquires. So we're beginning at verse 1 of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So it's a tax going to be called in, taken up. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Now, the words as I understand it, the city of their birth. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, that's way up high, over next to what I don't know, I've always called sometimes the Sea of Galilee, sometimes Red Sea. I think it's the same place, as far as I can tell. But he went into his own city, and he went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth. He will go back there later, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, if you look on a map of the Holy Land, you'll find that over by what I call the Dead Sea, it's called the Salt Sea by some, big, long, pretty good-sized body of water, but over to the left of that, between that and the Great Sea or Mediterranean Sea, you'll find Jerusalem. And just a little ways below Jerusalem, you'll find Bethlehem. It was right. I tried to measure and figure, but I can't tell you how far it is exactly. And I surely couldn't tell you how long it would take to get from one to the other because, you know, a lot of times you got to go around a valley, you got to go around a mountain, and what just seems as the crow flies, very short distance, takes a long time. But that's where he went. Went to a place called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now remember in the Old Testament, the prophecy of the Messiah, who is Jesus, was to come from the house of David. Longstanding. And so he was to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. They have gone there together. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The baby's going to be born. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son. You see, we got all that information that Matthew didn't give us. So it kind of adds to the story and understanding of location and other things around his birth. So she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No vacancy. Full. But they went to the stable. Jesus was laid in a feeding trough, as I understand it, as a manger. Then there's a new paragraph of thought. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in field, keeping watch over their flock by night. In other words, the night that Jesus was born, and he's born over here in Bethlehem of Judea, but somewhere out there in the darkness of the night, on a hillside, in a field, there are shepherds tending their flock, keeping watch over them by night. Why would they have to do that? Don't the animals lie down and sleep at night? Yes, but the wolves and the bears and the lions might not. And they would come as predators, and so they had to be watched and kept, lest predators come and kill them. And while they're out there tending those flocks, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Wouldn't you have been? Yeah, on a quiet night, the stars are shining. Pleasant night, maybe, and the sheep and all the animals are just kind of resting, and you're just sitting there watching and making sure they're all right. And all of a sudden, above you in the heavens, there is an angel of God. I can understand their fear. I really can. I would have been afraid too. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid of me. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In other words, the angel is kind of calming their fears to say, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm not here to harm you. I've come to bring you good tidings, good news, which shall be to all people. And God has people out of every kindred and tongue and people and family in this world. And this is good tidings of great joy. What is it? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, if one angel unsettled them, I'm sure it shook them a little when what is about to happen took place. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angel said, who was then joined by others, but he said, a Savior has been born. That Savior is Jesus. So the angels came and praised God and gave glory to him, proclaimed peace and goodwill toward men. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They believed that God sent them that message. The Lord made it known to them. And they were willing to leave their flocks and herds. They were willing to go away from them and go into the city to see this wonderful event that had taken place. And they came with haste. They were in a hurry and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went to see Jesus. They found him. And they saw him. And just as the angels told them about Jesus, when they saw him and when they went away, I'm sure back to their herds and flocks, and they were telling people as they saw them and came in contact with them the great things concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a great example for us here. There are a lot of people who don't believe what I've told you today. They laugh at it. But I'm telling you, it's the truth of God's holy word. And those of us who do believe it ought to be willing to share with others. We're about to lose Christ in Christmas. Are you aware of that? You listen when you watch television. You know, hardly ever you'll hear a Christmas anymore. You know why? Because the first part of the word Christmas is Christ. The world does not love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They don't even want to say his name. They don't want to say Christ, the anointed of God. And they surely don't want to say Jesus, the Savior of sinners. But we Christians can keep it alive We can keep talking about him, rejoicing in him together, giving glory and praise for the things which he has done. Now let's get back for the rest of the story. Chapter 2 of the Gospel of Matthew. Now I think when we get into this, you'll understand why it's laid out that way. And that's the way God was pleased to do it. But when Jesus was born, it says in the second chapter, verse 1 of Matthew's Gospel, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. The wise men came to see Jesus. And I'll explain a little more about that. Where they lived, I don't know, but if you take and put your finger on Bethlehem, somewhere to the east, I don't know how far. They rode on camels' backs. Slow transportation. Anytime you ride on an animal, it's slow transportation most of the time. Of course, horses do a quicker job of moving people about, but donkeys and camels, they're pretty slow. And they've come, the wise men from the east, to Jerusalem. And they're saying, now they're not at Bethlehem now. They're at Jerusalem, right above Bethlehem. And they're saying, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. Star wasn't in the east. They were in the east looking toward the star, which actually from them in the east, the star would have been west of where they were, as I see and understand it. So we have come from the east to Jerusalem. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, why did they think there had been the birth of a King of the Jews? It's generally thought that these men were maybe astronomers or people who in some way studied the heavens and the heavenly bodies and put a lot of stock in trying to, you know, see if there's a new star up there somewhere, and they're pretty familiar with all of that. If you all remember, they didn't have television to watch and while away their time. So a lot of them were studying the heavens. And we know there's a king that's been born, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, I'm going to pause right there and go way back in the Old Testament, book of Numbers, chapter number 24, and verse 17. There was a man that lived at that time whose name was Balaam. In loose terms, he was called a prophet of God. But he had a lot of struggles over money. And it was hard for him not to sell out for enough money. He was sometimes referred to as the mercenary prophet. But he made a prophecy. I want you to listen to Numbers 24:17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Or this is something that's going to happen a long ways off, but it's coming. There shall come a star out of Jacob. S-T-A capitalized denoting deity, Jesus. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. A star shall come. Is Jesus the star that he was talking about? I can't say positively that he was. But the fact that he mentions a star that shall come is rather interesting to me. We've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. This Christ, this Messiah the Jews had long awaited, where is he going to be born? Verse 5, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That was the prophecy in the Old Testament. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, you see, some significant amount of time had been given to the journey. How far east were they? We don't know. Were they 100 miles? Were they 500 miles? We don't know. But they were over in the east, and they've got to come to where he is. And they've come now. They've taken the journey, made the trip. And so he sent them to Bethlehem and said, that is, Herod sent the wise men, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw when they were in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, all through the years, there's been a lot of debating going on. Was this just some star that appeared? Was it just something that had not been seen before? Christians have believed it was a miracle star. I believe it was a miracle star. It was a star made by Almighty God, who made all of the universe, and he made a star to hang in the heavens to announce the birth of his son into the world. That's what I believe. When they saw the star, he came and stood over where he was. And notice what it said. Where the young child was. He's not a baby anymore. He's not lying in a manger anymore. He is a young child. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. He was a young child at that time. Verse 11 says, they were coming to the house. They saw Jesus, fell down, saw the child with Mary's mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Jesus was a young child. How old? I don't know. I don't find anything in the Bible where God's told us. But he was a young child. He's not a little infant anymore. He's not in the stable. He's not in the manger. He's in a house. They're living now in a house, residing there. And they presented unto him their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, one final thought. How many wise men were there? I cannot tell you. There were at least two, because it's in the plural men. So there were at least two of them. Why, some guesstimate there could have been as many as 500 of them. They didn't know. Men can guess all kinds of numbers. Only God knows how many there were. But there were three gifts, three kinds of gifts that were given: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, it could have been that each one gave a little of it all. Or it could have been that one gave the gold, one gave the frankincense, one gave the myrrh. We do not know. But we do know this, that over the years of time, a lot of the Christmas story has gotten distorted. We do know that. You know why I say that? You ever noticed a nativity scene? If it's very elaborate, it'll have Jesus lying in the manger and Mary and Joseph there, and there'll be angels over it, and there'll be three wise men and three camels, and there'll be a star over it. And nowhere in the scriptures do I know of where all of those people were gathered together at the same time. But man clumps it together because it looks more interesting. It makes a pretty scene. But it happened at different intervals of time. And so they have come, presented their gifts to him when they came into the house. And being warned of God, verse 12, in a dream, that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. That, brothers and sisters, is the basics of the Christmas story. But there is one verse I want to read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's what John has to say about him coming into the world. Beheld his glory, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's the Christmas story as it appears in my Bible. And that's the way I fit it together in the order of that which took place. Now, to close, I'll say this first scripture. Grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. 2 Peter 3:18, last verse of Peter's writing there. 1 and 2 Peter. So we are to be growing in grace. We're not just stay. The child grew. We are to grow in grace. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. We're to grow in grace. To grow in knowledge of Jesus. To grow in understanding of all these wonderful events that took place. And all to his glory. Then, now, and forevermore. And may God bless us in understanding the birth of Jesus, being reminded of it at this Christmas season. We'll want to glorify him more and more as best we can for as long as we live on this earth and are given the privilege of living, speaking, thinking, and all we can do to glorify our Savior, who came into the world and died for our sins. God bless his word to every heart, is my prayer.